This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Time to get to the crown topic of the day. Start of the show, BT, talking about the New York Knicks. You can feel the excitement. Not only we have the Yankees in the World Series, game one Friday, can't wait out in Los Angeles. The two powerhouses, Dodgers, Yanks, going head-to-head. But maybe tonight is the beginning of another championship team with the New York Knicks. All the pieces are in place. The Knicks just need to actually now go out there and do the job and get themselves at the very least to an NBA final.
I'm so pumped for the season, and it better be a championship season or a step closer to a championship season, and eventually they pop through because they made their championship move. Like, they're the cards that they had in their back pocket, all the draft equity, what are you going to do with Randall, you know, DiVincenzo, how do you entice another team to bite? Well, they tried to get the T-Wolves to bite without DiVincenzo. They said no, and then they said, all right, as long as we, you know, we don't want to do this with such a key figure on our team, even though we wouldn't have started last year out of necessity, they did it because they view Karl Anthony Towns as the final piece. Now, listen, whether it's the Celtics or Denver or the Bucks, the T-Wolves have a pretty high win total. Oklahoma City's very high. The Knicks on paper are no doubt one of the best teams in the NBA. They're going to be fun. They're going to be tough. They're going to be right there. But I think, for me, there's expectation that it's going to be fairly seamless and absolutely linear with no detours, I think is a little nuts. Because the entire essence of their chemistry has changed, and they haven't had a lot of time for the chemistry to grow, the new chemistry. Now, it will over time. I'm not talking basketball. Please don't hear this and say, oh, my God, does he not like Karl Anthony Towns? No, I love him as a player. He's a great pick-and-pop guy, and the Knicks need somebody, whether it's Porzingis or other bigs, when you get Embiid deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, that you're going to bump into, that you need to, you know, force the other team to react to. Now, they have that guy. Karl's he's a star. He's an all-star. He's a superstar. He's an all-star. He's a star. But he also is now under a spotlight he's never been under, really, except the 1 year at Kentucky and being the first overall pick. He's a New Jersey kid. He always wanted to be a Knick. Now he's here, and I think he's going to do great. But I need to see it play out, because the one time we had a chance to really do something this year and get to the finals with Minnesota, he shot 24% from three and was invisible. And if you do that up there, that's one thing. You do that at the Garden, it is an endless stream of criticism, and I just need to see it.
Yeah, I think it would behoove him and the Knicks, for specifically Karl Anthony Towns, to get off to a good start here. The reason why I think it's going to work, and I love Julius Randle, but I believe in Tom Thibodeau, I believe in Leon Rose, and to me, it was the final piece. I always felt like the Knicks needed a big who could stretch the floor, well, find a better one than Karl Anthony Towns, who is the best shooting big that maybe the sport has ever seen. So for a big that could stretch the floor, to get that guy in Karl Anthony Towns specifically, plus he's from the area, like, how soft could he be? That's the knock on him, that he's soft. I don't know. We're going to find out. But I think he fits perfectly. I love Julius Randle, the opposite of soft. But Karl Anthony Towns is more skilled and just fits better for what this Knicks group needs. So there were going to be question marks going with Randle, even if DiVincenzo was still here, how that would play out, you know, Randle needing to be on the ball, how he's going to fit as a five, all that stuff. So there are going to be question marks either way, but I just think this is a team that fits together, at least on paper. They got to go out there on the court now and play it, but fits on paper to be a championship team.
I don't really strongly disagree, but I would say more the starting five appears to have nice mesh eventually as a championship starting five. The bench is, I'm worried about the bench. I don't even, listen, I don't want to get too much into the minutia of of the bench on opening night. I mean, it's not the NFL. It's one of 82. I'm not going to go bonkers, and guys are going to get back healthy. I don't love the bench going into the season. I just want to get that on the record. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let's say the Knicks fall short either of a championship or, oof, God forbid, from a sports perspective, short of where they got a year ago. Who are the two figures that are going to take the most heat?
Yeah, I mean,
who do you think they are?
It's going to be Cat. I mean, Tibbs might be the other one.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the coach and it's the new star player.
Right.
Because Jalen Brunson has already done something as unselfish as you can do. First, he elevated the franchise, so we're always indebted there. He's a superstar, plays hurt, was unbelievable. And oh, yeah, by the way, left $100 million on the table.
Right.
No matter what happens,
he's untouchable.
We good with Jalen.
Even if he has a down postseason, he's got at least a couple of years of down postseasons in equity.
That's my point. You used the word. I was going to say that's the word. It is equity. And I think Tom Thibodeau does as well to a lesser extent than the star point guard. But the main target's going to be the star player because that's what's changed the most. And, hey, if he's ready for it and he's ready for that heat and all the attention, which he very might inspire him to a level that he's never even been at, and his ceiling is pretty damn high, Stan, I got to see it.
Yeah, and that's fair.
That's it.
I'm saying I think we will see it. And by the way, this is the most excited I've been. Like, there are realistic things we do need to see take place. But because we saw Tibbs and Brunson and everybody else build this team up for the last couple of years, I do think now you could hope that these are the final pieces to get them over the top here. But, hey, bottom line is they got to get it done. I'm the most excited I've been going into a year probably since the 90s. Like, there's been some excitement the last couple of years.
Yep.
This is different because every year in the 90s, the expectation was championship.
Mm.
At least mid to late 90s.
Absolutely.
Early
90s,
yeah, exactly,
more so,
right.
Really. The early 90s teams were terrific.
Right. So
the
expectation was championship.
Patrick flying around, bouncy Pat.
They fell short every year.
Right.
I mean, whether it was Jordan or whatever, or Akeem.
Charles Smith
with the
misses.
Or David Robbins, whatever. Yeah. They fell short of ultimately the championship. Two finals appearances, short of the championship. But every year going in, that was the goal.
Yep.
And that's for the first time in a long time how I feel about this team. The goal is a championship.
I do agree with that. And it's funny because you mentioned the two NBA Finals appearances, and they were both very different,
different teams.
You know what Hakeem did to
our boy. I don't want to hear it.
But you know, he abused our boy. He did
not abuse him.
Okay. But the Knicks were still basically a 60-win team, and Patrick was great. Hakeem just a little bit better. You had Pat Riley Hall of Famer. Like, that was one appearance. The 99 appearance, I don't know how you felt because that was 25 years. I didn't know you. I didn't think they had a chance to win that. I was happy to be there, quite frankly.
I felt like without Ewing healthy for that series, the rest of the run before that, like they beat the Pacers without him.
Yeah.
I was okay with that.
Yep.
They needed Ewing against Twin Towers back
then.
Yeah,
they did. They did.
And
they
without
did.
Him, it was a mismatch.
It was small. It was small players. Houston, Sprewell. And we love those two guys, but even if they had Patrick, he was kind of hobbled.
Yeah,
like, he wasn't quite the same dynamic athlete. I still don't know if they would have won.
No, that was one of those where it was just great to actually be there.
But we didn't think they'd get there going into the season. Remember, that was the condensed season.
Right.
That was when the Knicks won the 1-8 matchup against Miami.
Yes.
And it was a truncated season. So my point is, we'll get back to the calls. Going into tonight and going into the season, I do feel as emboldened about a Knicks championship appearance than I do, like, the most since the mid-90s. Not 99, mid-90s. I am with you on that.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name-brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Gus is in Mamaroneck. What's up, Gus?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Sal, I enjoy you and BT.
Thank you.
You guys are great together. You know, I'm kind of like feel bad about losing Randall. I mean, I could have seen how it would have played off between Randall and the group. But Towns is a good player, he's an exciting player. The one thing that worries me is when the Knicks get in the playoffs, does Thibodeau stretch out the rotation? Because that's his downfall, as far as I'm concerned. He always goes to a 7-man rotation. The guys are gassed by the time they get to the further rounds, and the other guys are stale if they get in the game.
Well,
what's your opinion?
And thanks for the call there, Gus. My opinion is very simple. I don't think he had any options last year. I mean, everybody was hurt. They were dropping like flies. And even the guys who were out there, like Jalen's hand and Jalen's ankle, he was jacked up, even though he was willing through it. You know, you had a lot of guys hurt, and there was an elevation. Now,
Dante, the bench was starting.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, Dante answered the bell, and McBride answered the bell. And McBride, to me, very well might be the wild card in this team. You know, not to just jump to a different topic, but he is a guy, a young player, who he has shown a penchant for having... like just massive stones. Like
right.
He's not afraid. I don't know how else to say. He's not afraid to take a big shot. He sticks a lot. He's a tough, strong-bodied athlete. I think he's going to take a big jump this year. I think Miles McBride's going to be outstanding, and that maybe that does offset the loss of Dante DiVincenzo a bit. But those guys played last year, and the rotation was condensed out of necessity, to his point.
But now they don't have as deep a bench. They're top-heavy.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a topic of conversation throughout the course of the season as we react each day after the Knicks games the night before.
Oh, yeah, which we're doing here. Can't wait.
Which is a matter of, okay, well, is it too many minutes? Is it not enough? How is Tibbs working? It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to him taking the foot off the gas a little bit with this iteration of the of a team where you're so top loaded with stars.
You think he will?
I
don't think he's going to change that part.
Yeah,
I don't think this
that
team wants
well
him to.
One of the things
about this team, they love playing. Which
I know,
is,
but you mentioned
which is
it,
awesome.
You mentioned it with Kat, who's been banged up.
Yeah, last 4 or 5 years.
And Mitchell Robinson already's not there, so you talk
about
that.
Forget about it. I mean, he's
yeah, I mean,
hurt.
Hart could be a minutes machine.
Yep.
Ananobi's a guy who's got hurt. Like maybe Bridges, Brunson, and Hart carry the bulk of the minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, just they're not very deep, at least right now, especially with the Chew already being banged up.
Chamet, a little bit jacked up as well.
I mean, they've got some issues here.
And
you
want
to see
trust
more Sims.
Payne's the kind of player who's going to hit some big threes, like, you know, first, second round. I could see him in, you know, as a good reserve spark, but you got to roll with, you have one superstar. I mean, some people think the Cat's a superstar. I think Brunson is. I think Anthony Towns is more of a star. Some people think the Knicks have two superstars. Let's go get it. Let's eat.
John is in Stratford, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, BC and Sal?
Hey, John.
Man, I love the show. I'm excited about the Knicks season. And I want to say, you know, what Jalen Brunson did, leaving all that money on the table, is amazing. And you don't see a lot of guys do that. And it's allowing Knicks to be more flexible. But I think what a lot of people are missing on the situation is that, you know, he is a pro player's son. So, you know, winning to him is probably a little more important than the money. He grew up with money, you know, and it's like, you know, if Bronny...
Not that much. I mean, Rick Brunson was barely an NBA pro.
He did make a few bucks coaching at Temple, though. He had a decent... But, yeah, no, I wasn't making a massive money in the NBA. Go ahead.
You know, so, I mean, if Bronny, let's say he was the number one overall pick, he goes to a team, he's starting to be a star, I could see him doing something similar, leaving all that money on the table to win because, you know, they didn't struggle growing up like a lot of these guys.
Yeah, Bronny better be careful. He's not playing in Europe in a couple of years the way he's looked outside of one game in the preseason. He looked awful.
Yeah, I mean, we all know why he's on the team.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I think Brunson should be applauded, but I think you see if there's a lot of these guys coming up in the future, I think you might see a lot of similar things, you know, these players' sons who just want to win.
Right. I don't think that's the reason. I think Brunson is just a winner. He's a guy that's, I don't want to say had a chip on his shoulder, but has had to prove himself every step of the way. You've seen the videos with Rick, his father, running him up and down the floor. It's great.
When he was young,
not good enough. Yeah,
that
like,
was great.
Hey,
do it again, not good enough.
Do it again, not good. You want to be a pro? Like, yeah, daddy's a pro, but you know how much hard work it took to get to that level? And Jalen Brunson has turned himself into a superstar,
whether it's
at Nova and what he's done now in the NBA. We saw it in spurts with the Mavericks before the Knicks signed him. Nobody thought, outside of the Knicks, that maybe Brunson and his father thought that he was going to be the star that he became. Because they were all saying, oh, man, the Knicks, it's an overpay it's going to be a bad contract for a guy who hasn't even proven that much. And Jalen Brunson has been a superstar. Not only that, he's doing it in New York with the Knicks at the Garden. Like, it is... He's number one right now. I mean, we could have the conversation about New York sports athletes as we've had BT, Brunson or Shesterkin
Judge.
Or Lindor, Judge, Soto. Like, we've got a lot of them right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if it's just because he's doing it on the one team that unifies this city.
Yeah.
As far as fan bases go.
Mm-hmm.
But, or doing it on the team that has been down for the better part of two full decades. Or just his... greatness alone, but Jalen Brunson, to me, is head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what Judge does over the next 10 days. I can't necessarily, or and Soto for that matter, I can't really disagree with that, but I think I'm going to add another layer to it. I think one of the main attractions and appeals about Jalen Brunson, as you contrast it to the other superstars in our city, like Aaron Judge has worked incredibly hard to get here. God also made him 6'8", 260.
Right.
Okay, who runs.
Right.
Soto, I mean, look at his body. He is put together like a tank. And Jalen Brunson is a smallish bodied, not ripped, not jumping over anybody. Might have among the lowest hops in the NBA when you actually look at measured. I would almost guarantee that when you look at all the point guards in the NBA, that he's in about, I would think that he's 15% or lower percentile in terms of verticality, right? He's not tall, doesn't jump out of the gym. Everything he's done is through sheer hard work. And I think we look at somebody like that in our city where everything that we do is, and we've talked about this, it's just, it's always arduous, just getting through a tunnel, across to the street, whatever, ordering food, I mean, finding a parking spot. Like
the commute, the bills, everything.
All the nonsense taxes, which we hate. Yeah. He took the hard route to become what he is, and he's just a byproduct. That footwork is sublime. You really don't hear me use the word sublime often. His footwork and dexterity is sublime, and you're not given that. You earn that, and it's like a boxer just in the, you know, with the speed bag or doing shadow boxing. Like you've got to get that in sync for years, and he did, and I think we all appreciate his grit, and he kind of looks like us in terms of physical stature. He's the man.
I do feel like you use that word quite often.
Which one?
Sublime.
No,
maybe
I don't.
More so than I've ever.
No,
heard
only
it
when I describe Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, maybe
that's where. So sublime last year. I used it a lot because it was applicable.
When I hear sublime, I think of one thing. Do you know what I'm going to talk about?
Sublime.
Yeah,
some movie reference.
The group.
What?
There was a group. Sublime. No.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that they're... What song do they
sing?
Wasn't
there a group, Sublime, Patty or Hoff? Don't you know that?
Sublime?
The band, Sublime, right?
Yeah, what about them?
Yeah, no, okay, but that's a band. That's what I think. Every time BT says Sublime, that's what I think of, that
what
band.
What was their big song? They're in the mid-90s?
Renteria or Santeria or Sangria?
Wait, Edgar Renteria?
Oh, yeah. What was it? Sangria?
Santeria.
Santeria.
Ain't they got no Santeria.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good song. Like
that's
the first,
an interesting song.
The first
Smoked
two songs.
Joints.
The first two songs on that album were pretty good. Anyway,
what
so
I
yes.
Got.
Yeah, What I Got. That's
Wait,
a good
is that
one.
The one? Oh, hey, What I Got. That's the one?
I'm not
that's
sure. Right. Wow. Maybe try it again and I can hear it this time.
What I Got. I say, guys, to know.
Well, can you play it, Boyle?
I mean come on. Don't make me sing it. Somebody find YouTube and put the freaking song on.
What's that, Hoff?
I think he just wants you to sing it.
Oh, no, I don't want to sing it.
We like to embarrass you guys as much as possible.
Anyway, the point is, Brunson, even to this day, still has doubters.
That's going to fuel him forever.
Right, people still talk about his size being an issue.
Now, less than they used to, but to your point, and I just had it, hold on.
Just last year, remember, who was it? Was it, I forget.
It was Kenny Smith, right?
No, it was
Candace Parker said
it.
No, he was getting a lot of shade on TNT.
Parker, and then wasn't it, who was the coach of... The assistant coach, was it Becky Hammon?
It was definitely Becky Hammon.
Okay, yeah, that's who said it, right. She was saying he was too small. She was just giving her, subjective analysis.
Yeah, for sure.
Analysis.
It wasn't like 8'8". It was just, she was wrong.
But the point is, and she knows hoops more than anybody, the point is people still doubt Brunson because of his size. Do you have the song, Boyle, before we go to break here?
Is what I got.
Here we go.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you remember
that? I've seen it. Of course I remember it. I never liked
right.
it.
So anytime you say sublime, this is what I think of.
That's what you think of?
All right. Anyway.
Well, can I just see this real quick? So where do you think, I know we got a break. Do you think, is he generally considered at this point still outside the top 10 for players in the NBA going into the season? Like if you look at new rankings and you were to take all of them like we do with the polls now getting ready for election, they kind of like a hybrid poll. Do you think he's considered top 10 or just outside?
I don't know. I'd take Embiid and Paul George over him.
Yeah, I know. Exactly, right? What's your nickname for him again?
Yeah.
What do you call him again?
The semi-sixers because they never make it past the semis.
I mean, I see some of these lists and they still have Kevin
Durant
on it.
He's top 10
on
my list.
It.
I don't care.
Come on, man.
He's top 10 of my list. He'd probably be top 5. I told you, there's not a player I'd rather have running the New York Knicks than Jalen Brunson.
Would you rather have him or Anthony Edwards? And my answer is Anthony. Brunson as well. That's why I'm asking.
I'll
stick with Brunson because he fits, but...
Yeah, I love Anthony. Yeah, that's a tough one.
All right. Pretend I didn't ask you that.
Don't make me choose that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BTSL back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Talking Knicks, talking Giants. We're going to get to baseball coming up in about a half hour. So I got something I really need to get off my chest in regards to the Mets and Yankees both, BT.
Yeah, I've got a little something that I've got to bring to the air as well. I've got a slight grievance here that I actually brought to the air a year ago. I don't know if you remember this, but now Sal's daughter's still too young for this. So there's a tradition that's been born in the suburbs, which was... We didn't do this growing up. Now, you know, we hammered buses with eggs and, you know, knocked each other with shaving cream and all that stuff. But it's called booing or ghosting. Have you heard of this?
No, I have not. Ghosting.
All right. So it's bad enough that...
I mean, I know what ghosting is, but not in this...
Not in that sense.
Yeah,
well,
right.
So when you were trying to get that third date and she didn't get back to you, you knew that you were ghosted?
Dude, one...
Is that what you mean? Yeah.
One time...
I'll get back to the story after. One time what?
Movie theater, I think. Yeah, got up in the middle of the movie, went to the bathroom.
No, she wasn't.
And left.
She left you? Oh, you left. All right. I did
the ghost. Yeah.
That's fine. Better than... I mean, what movie was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Was it an early date? Like 2, 3, 4? Where were you guys in the day?
I really don't remember.
That still is pretty rude, dude. You just left? And you never texted her?
I don't remember the details of it, but when you say ghosted, that's what I think of.
Oh, wow, that's anyway, pretty brazen. I mean, I don't blame you, but it's also, wow, okay. Well, hopefully she recovered her morale. I mean, you may have destroyed her forever, dude. You don't want to do that.
Might have been that. My God. Maybe I'm getting my stories confused. Might have been that, or I just didn't pay for it.
All right. So anyway.
Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
So
I know, it's even worse.
there is this tradition now. I don't know when it started. Hoff, you probably deal with this. Ding dong. Who is it? Okay. The doorbell rings now, right? 17 times a night. Now, let me just fast forward to Halloween night. And again, your daughter's a little too young for this, but you are right on the precipice of having to deal with this.
Right.
And even though my wife gets annoyed when I complain about this, it drives me freaking insane. So on Halloween night, you're going to be sitting there watching your kids just dive into multiple bags of junk that's going to destroy their teeth and keep them up like they're on drugs, hopped up all night as Halloween candy. But we all did it, so it's all good, right? Ghosting and booing is when you... Ding dong, ring the bell, and run into the car with the parents out there. You have a hoodie on, you have a ski mask on, and you leave a bag of candy now. So the doorbell's been ringing since about October 15th. Hey, did anybody boo us tonight? Did anybody ghost us tonight? To the point where if they see a light coming down the street or a horn, they get up from they could be in the middle of their homework. No matter what they're doing, they both run on the street because the fun is trying to catch the people ghosting you or booing you. The premise is this. ding dong, leave the candy, get in the car, not get pinched by the kids that you're leaving the candy for.
I mean, it sounds fun.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
Until your kids have candy October 14th, 15th, 16th, 7th, all the way up until November 3rd with the remnants that remain from Halloween.
Yeah, I've never heard of this. You sure this is not just like your neighborhood
thing? I'm positive.
Thing?
It is. People who are hearing this are nodding their head. Hey, and I'm a holiday guy. We now put the Christmas tree up in late November.
Right.
I schedule the Christmas lights to come in mid-November. We stretch it out to Little Christmas, an Italian thing, yeah. January 6th. Like, we roll the I love the holidays. But the candy in the middle of October drives me insane. I can't stand it.
Just because you don't want the kids consuming that junk on Halloween?
No, I don't want them doing it now.
Oh, okay, right.
Halloween, have fun, of course. Right. I'm not going to be a Grinch with that.
But the candy just or just the annoyance of the...
Both. Like, okay. Well, both. Because now the household becomes very, very scattered, very distracted. Because they could be doing homework, ding-dong. Forget about the homework. They run out to try to catch their friends. They're in the bath, ding-dong. They're not even fully dressed. I mean, they run down, right. You know, pajama pants half on. Oh, where's my friend? It just doesn't end. It just... I'm just going to call for what it is. It's unnecessary stress for me.
I get it.
Honestly.
I wouldn't want that.
No, I know you are.
I don't like Halloween in general.
That's what I'm saying.
And now we already got the costumes. I'm going to have to, you know, I'm not going to do the Baseball Night New York show that day. So when we're done here at 2, I'll go home so we can trick or treat.
Yeah, you got to do that.
But then
that's
there's
awesome.
A new stress. Like, we're in the new neighborhood. If we're not home for the trick or treaters, what do? We leave the bowl out
Yes,
there?
You leave the bowl out. You have to leave
trust
the bowl
everybody.
Out.
Okay, because you just don't want people coming to the house and not giving anything.
Yeah, you can't be that coming. Yeah,
this will be the one. Like, this will be the one Halloween though that because usually I don't like. I don't know about you. Do you eat candy on Halloween?
I do
a lot. Like
I eat a little bit of candy now. I'm gonna because it's always around.
But there you go. So
I eat it too. But that's the other thing. That's like my private motivation that I don't verbalize that much because the more they get ghosted and booed now, the more I eat now.
Right.
It's one thing on Halloween. I'm a candy guy. Now I don't buy it a lot. But I don't love chocolate.
But if it's there.
Oh, you get Twizzlers, you get Jolly Ranchers, you get Starburst like that fruit. I eat it all night.
Yeah, I've been dipping into the Kit Kats and Reese's Pieces, and my wife was yelling at me for it. The one thing that we all will have in common, like usually I don't do it on Halloween, I wouldn't be eating, but this year we're all going to be consuming junk on Halloween.
Yeah, it's called the Jets. Yeah, the gift
BT and Sal, hold the fanny.
Empty calories. No more. Nobody more empty calories than those guys.
888-808-1019. The number to call. Mark is in New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted. I agree with the other two callers. I think you guys have the best show on the fan right now.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
So do we. By the way,
guys. No, we got it too.
No, but seriously, you guys keep it real. You're just pretty straight. You know, you don't veer off, but. So I just want to make like a couple points about the Giants and see what you guys really, really think about it. I'm not sold on getting rid of Daboll, but I think that the coaching staff and him, I mean, like they make no adjustments. The play calling is suspect. You've got a defensive coordinator who still puts defensive backs in single coverage against the best receivers in the NFL with no safety help, and then it's all on them. Like there's no adjustments. If you're getting exposed at left tackle, then why not have a tight end on that side as an extra blocker to give another second or two? That's one point. I mean, and then you know, do that on every single play if you're weak on the blind side. Like I don't understand how they don't look at the film and don't make these adjustments and then stick with it.
Well, Mark, to your point, I mean, think about now. I forget about the final score, but like what the Jets were doing against the Steelers, they kept Breece Hall into Chip against Watt before he ran his little route. Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a great left tackle or if you're a little vulnerable on the right side, whatever it might be, there's ways to somewhat offset the dominance that's on the other side of the line of scrimmage there. And, you know, I'm not going to get into coaching schematics because I'm not a coach, but that's pretty basic stuff. It doesn't seem like the Giants do it a lot. Listen, here's
where Illuminor talked about that, saying that he wanted to stay on the right side.
He said that.
So everybody can maybe, they could have the right, and he'll stay on an island by himself on the right side, have everybody shift over to the
left side. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what you're talking about. And you're right. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell the coaches.
Nah, that's ridiculous.
It'd be like them telling us how to do a talk show. I don't want to hear it. I've been trying to do this for 20-plus years. I know what I'm doing. Like, they've been coaching their whole lives. They know what they're doing. We can think, hey, Chip here and bring a tight end over there. But, let them coach. They'll figure it out.
Well,
if they don't, they're going
to
be fired.
I'll lay out with football. There are certain things with baseball and basketball I have no problem telling coaches
giving
what
opinion
to do.
Is different, but the
no,
X's
no,
and O's.
I mean, literally saying X's and O's. I mean, I'm saying that with a smile. I mean, football's so complicated. We make it seem so easy. It's really not. Listen, here's where I'm at with Daboll, all right? And we had Jermaine on earlier, and he was great, and some very candid questions and some very good answers. If you guys want to get it, Odyssey app free, hit rewind, go up to speed. You're going to want to hear from John's perspective, fully evaluating the rest of the way. I know where you stand, and I still believe he's more of an asset than a detriment. I do, not as much as I once did, but I still do, depending upon what happened. I'm not saying that they're thinking this. I have no idea what they're thinking. What I'm thinking, if you're still not scoring touchdowns and the stadium's half empty or the opposing fans are taking it over and everybody in the division is clearly better than you and you're a 5 or 6 win team and there's guys who aren't tackling when they have a chance to, then I'm going to have to maybe reevaluate who I'm having coach my team next season. But, and I think that some Giant fans are getting there a little quicker than they were a couple of weeks ago.
I'm going down with the ship because I believe in Brian Daboll, and I think they could turn this thing around starting in Pittsburgh on Monday night. They have, I was going to say 2 home games, but they have Washington at home. Then they have the game in Germany against Carolina. That's a winnable game. Come back against the Bucs. Like, this may be, we talk about season-defining stretches or season-defining games. This may be the Daboll-Shane-defining run right here, these next 4 weeks.
You think they could win 2 out of 3, those games? So if you think they have a chance against Pittsburgh, then your answer should be yes.
Yeah, I do.
Carolina stinks.
I think there's a chance that they can win 3 of the next 4.
Who's that fourth game?
Honestly, Commanders home against the Bucs. And honestly, think about this, BT.
Yeah, just to take pretty, a step, they had a lot of injuries last night, Tampa.
Take a step further. At Dallas, like we said, lost before, but why can't they beat Dallas? Dallas stinks.
Yeah.
And the Giants could have beaten them the first game.
Yeah, because they never do.
And then home against New Orleans, like, I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture when it's not their 2-5. But if I do believe in Daboll, and I believe their defense is legit, mm-hmm. and Neighbors is here, and Jones, while he's maddeningly, I mean, I was going to say inconsistent, but just flat out bad at times.
Yep.
He still has also proven to be able to win some games. We saw it a few years ago. Like, if you're painting the best picture here, it's not, to me, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Giants win, let's say, 4 of the next 6. And at some point, I believe in Daboll. I believe in his team to a certain extent. At some point, they're actually going to have to start winning. That's what I mean. Like, this is going to be the regime's, like, test here. If they don't start winning and they get beat up in Pittsburgh and they lose at home to Washington, even if they beat Carolina, but they come back and lose at home to the Bucs, they get blown out or beat on national TV on Thanksgiving again. Like, that's where you start to think change. But there's still a path here to where Daboll can turn this thing around. They've just got to actually do it now. Like, they have to actually, I can't keep talking about it. And almost should have won, could have won, close game. They actually have to score touchdowns and win football games. It's still possible, though.
I agree with the fact that, or the thought that there's a path. I do agree with that. I don't know if they'll get on it, but there is a visible path there to reassert their, not their dominance, but the belief, reward those who still believe in them, that they're the right guys. Yeah, I can see the path. The problem is, bad offensive lines generally blow up those paths. And with Andrew Thomas out,
that hurts.
It's not a good offensive line.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. Still want to get to the baseball stuff. Hey, anybody realize in this town, the New York Yankees are in the World Series? Maybe, just maybe, more people should be appreciating that and celebrating that. I know we will be by giving away tickets on Friday. I can't wait for that. But, I mean, my God, you think in this town, like, we celebrate losers more so than a team that's actually in the World Series. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo, game day, be delicious. Baldy, was an ugly Sunday in New York football yet again. Let's start with the Giants. I was surprised. I mean, they got absolutely pasted by the Eagles at home. They can't move the football. Offensive line banged up. Just an ugly effort. What are you seeing from the Giants at this point, or specifically against the Eagles in that game?
Well, I mean, their best player, Andrew Thomas, is done for the year, and that was apparent. I think they'll make a switch this week, put a Luminar over at left tackle because, they can't perform the way they did last week. And maybe they can find a right tackle right now, whoever it might be. But, I mean, that was bad. The quarterback is bad. They couldn't get anything going. You couldn't sustain any offense against the defense that has not played well. And so they gave up all kinds of sacks and pressures. That was bad. But defensively, they had been playing better. They played a good first quarter. I just don't understand. Like, the Eagles' best offensive player is A.J. Brown. And they allow their, third or fourth corner, Nick McFadden, out there on them in a 7-0 game, one-on-one with no help. They're doubling Mark Calcaterra, who is a threat to nobody, and they're letting A.J. Brown go one-on-one, and Jalen Hurts hit him. So, I mean, I just thought all the way around it was bad. Bad football. The defense had been playing pretty good, but the explosive plays they gave up, you know, just the effort, you know, whether it's, you know, Deontay Banks and, you know, walking during a play and walking off the field. It's just, it looked bad. It looked real bad if you're a Giants fan or a coach right now.
Real quick, Baldy, because you mentioned it. We had Jermaine Illuminar on the show earlier, and I asked him flat out, has he been asked to move? What do you consider moving? And he basically said, if they asked him, and I don't know if they asked him or not, but he told us that he would prefer to stay on the right side, yeah, and have them shift more guys over on the left. And he talked about it being difficult. I wouldn't know. Obviously, yeah, you would know. So you're saying move Illuminar over. I mean, if he's reluctant to do it, then what?
Well, I mean, look, just because, like, Evan Neal can't play left tackle, Azeedu can't play left tackle. He's their best option. Now, I mean, I know Jermaine. Like, he's been a right guard, right tackle. He's played on the right side. He's had a good year so far. He had a good year in Oakland with the Raiders last year. I don't blame him. Like, you know, you're not going to be as good as you can be going over the left, but it might be the best thing for the team. So, I mean, I think Evan Neal is probably the best bet at right tackle if Illuminar goes over, but if they don't, I mean, I think they've got to get that position fixed. I mean, Daniel Jones is already hesitant to throw the ball with any sort of anticipation and getting the ball out of his hands. If he holds it, like, he gets hit and he gets sacked and he starts running and he doesn't keep his eyes down the field to find any receivers. Like, he's got to feel more confident than he did last week when it was just breaking down all around him.
So, Bull, do you watch film and you're looking for scheme and then you're looking for execution, and obviously off of execution there's effort. So,
yeah,
all those variables, as you watch the Giants tape, you think they've got the right coach?
Well, if a player like Deontay Banks, who's a first-round pick, is walking during a play and walks off the field, the coach is cussing him out on the sideline. Like, it's just inexcusable. I don't know what happened. I thought first he was injured, but then, yeah, he's in there the next play. There's nothing wrong with him. But that was, like, glaring to me. Like, I haven't seen that in any game. I see some lack of effort where guys are jogging instead of running. You can't play football like that. So, I mean, that's on the head coach. It falls on him. Like, whatever discipline issues are, that's an issue when I see that. And I want to like Brian. They're a little bit weak in certain areas. You know, they lose the best player on offense. That's the one guy. They can play without Malik Nabers. They won without Malik. They can play without a lot of guys in that offense. I don't know that they can play decent football without Andrew Thomas right now. They don't have anybody. There's a lot of teams are playing backup tackles. But, you know, the Eagles did. Fred Johnson was a backup to Malata. The problem is that the drop-off is just so great,
yeah,
from Andrew Thomas, yeah, to whatever they put there.
Yeah, and we saw the same thing last year. You know, week one, Dallas, he hurts his hamstring. He, yep, misses a ton of time. They get, yep, waxed 40-0 at home. All right, so we're talking to Brian Baldinger, of course, BT and Sal on the Fan. So, encompassing everything, so that's your thoughts on the coach and the direction there. When you watch the film and you see the 22 guys on both sides to get the lion's share of the snaps, do you think that their general manager has brought in enough talent compared to the rest of the NFL?
Well, I mean, look, because they have not drafted particularly well, they had to overpay to get Brian Burns. They had to overpay to get Brian O'Carrity. Like, those are really good players. But they had to overpay to get them because they hadn't drafted. Now, that wasn't all Joe Shane right there, you know, in missing on linebackers and missing on outside linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Although Aziz Ojulari has played really well the last couple weeks. So, I mean, he's a guy that was there, but they didn't think that they had a guy, you know, on the outside that could play opposite Kayvon, who's been hurt, and they got Burns. But that's what happens when you miss on players. You overpay in free agency, and I think that's what they're guilty of doing right now.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add to extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. If I had to just ask you one last thing on the Giants, Baldy, what's the biggest reason for where they're at? I believe in Dable, but obviously the record is what it is. I mean, you talk about the lack of effort, scheme, quarterback, whatever. What's the biggest reason why the Giants yet again find themselves at 2-5?
Well, the reason why Brian and Joe are here is because they came from a system in Buffalo that had Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen's just an all-world talent, all-world leader. Like, you got a chance every week with that guy. And they get a job because of it. And they don't have a quarterback that can play anywhere near that type of level or elevate people around him. like that. And that's just, look, this is 6 or 7 years with Daniel right now. He's not throwing the ball with anticipation. If you're playing against his own defense like they were with the Eagles last week, and the slot receiver is running a curl, like, you can't wait until he's all the way finished with his curl before you throw it. You have to throw it with some level of anticipation, and Daniel is hesitant to do that. Every once in a while, he'll throw a dart, and it looks like a real quarterback. But, you know, you've got to sustain offense. You've got to do that from start to finish in this league against these defenses. You know, especially when the Eagles are putting up points like they did last week once they got the big plays going.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Boldy, is Aaron Rodgers done?
Well, look, I mean, if you just look at his 20 years, like, he's averaging 6 yards an attempt right now. Like, at one time, he led the National Football League. He's led it a couple times. But one year, he led the league with 10 yards an attempt. He's throwing for 6 right now. He knows he has to get rid of the ball quickly. And that's not a bad thing if you're throwing to Garrett Wilson. He catches it. It's fine. But, he bounces off his chest, intercepted. All right, that happens. The interception, the first one by Beanie Bishop, like, I just think that's a force right there. Like, that's the guy that thinks his arm is just the same as it always has been, and it's not. And so that ball gets intercepted by a free agent rookie. That usually never happens to him. You know, he's got to get rid of the ball quickly right now. And so what that happens is, that's not always bad, but you give up on routes that are developing, that you could go elsewhere with the ball if you felt good enough to stay back there and just let these routes develop. But he doesn't trust the protection. Don't blame him. It's breaking down very quickly. And so he's like, I'll just work the quick passing game, or I'll flip it to Brees and see what he can do with it.
Yeah.
But it's not a good-looking offense right now at all.
And
they don't run the ball because they've got guys, the scheme, it's not the scheme, it's just they don't know how to execute a combo block. It's sad to see right now.
Oh, my God. I'm more depressed than I thought I could be. So I asked you about Rodgers. Is Tyron Smith done? He looks awful.
Yeah, he's not playing good. He doesn't look like at any point, even when he was injured in Dallas, he didn't look like this. He's having a hard time getting out of his stance. Alex Highsmith is a good player. He's not a great player. The week before in Buffalo, he's going against a good player, not a great player. He's getting beat out of his stance right now. And so he's not the guy that they were hoping to get. I'll just say that. He's not done. He can still go out there and give you some decent snaps, but one-on-one outside right now, you have to think about giving him chip help. You got to think about sliding to him. And you never thought of it. It used to be a time when Tyron Smith got his grips on you, the play was over for him. Like, he would hold that block for 6 seconds if he had to. And he can't play like that right now.
You know, Boldy, the Jets defense let Russell Wilson cook on Sunday night. I can't even believe that that's the case. What is wrong? It feels like it's gotten worse along the way here. What's wrong with their defense?
Well, they keep getting, they're playing without DJ Reed, with Michael Carter. Sauce goes out, and the next play, George Pickens catches his first touchdown pass of the season. 7 games, that was his first touchdown catch against Eccles. So, you lose Ashton Davis, who was playing because of injuries at safety.
Nah, he stinks.
Then you lose Tony Adams. Now
Ashton
you're playing
Davis.
Guys that are literally you're playing guys off the – I didn't know who Sheffield was. I know this league. He just got called up from the practice squad, and he's out there playing. And look, they need a third pass rusher. Will McDonald's played very well. Quinnen always plays well, but they need a third pass rusher. And then, the Steelers had the lead in the fourth quarter, and they ran the ball down their throats the way Buffalo did. And so when teams can do that to them and they execute like both teams have, then, you see teams just run the ball down their throats. But that's with a rookie right guard in Pittsburgh, a backup center in Pittsburgh. And that's who's doing it to him. That's not Pittsburgh's best, and they'll run the ball down their throats. So that's a terrible sign right now.
I asked them about some of the older players here, whether it's Rodgers, obviously Tyron Smith, two of the younger players who are really, really talented in Sauce and Garrett Wilson. I personally think both have regressed. I think Garrett Wilson's regression is a little more stark. He's making some perplexingly stupid plays, like where he's just not there mentally. Sauce is a little different. I think they're officiating him differently. First 2 years, he was very handsy, got away with it. Now he's not. So if they don't let Sauce Gardner play the way they used to, is he no longer special?
Well, I agree with you with your assessment. I totally agree with that. He's got length, all right? Well, use your feet. The only reason why you grab and hold the things he's being
penalized for the last three or four games in a row is because you're not – the only reason why you grab is because you're not in position. Like, stop. Like, don't panic. Find the ball, all right? Play the ball in the air. Like, do the things you're supposed to do. But grabbing guys by the shirt or the hand, like he's doing, or face guarding guys, which is fine, but you've got to play with some poise. Like, South has played much better than this. And I would agree, but both guys have regressed. I don't know that either guy feels confident right now the way you have to feel confident. Sometimes it's just you get sick of losing. Like, and that's all these guys have done. That's all Quinnen has done. Like, they're sick of losing. And they're looking around the league, and these guys are having interceptions in Green Bay and taking the ball away and having – and they're, like, not having any success.
Yeah, but Baldy, hold on a sec. Like, if they were doing
their – excuses, guys. I understand.
Yeah, but if they were doing their job, they would be winning. I mean, one of the reasons they lost is Garrett – I mean, come on. Quinnen Williams has done nothing.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I totally agree. Like, they haven't made game-changing plays.
No.
You watch around the league, these guys, teams that are winning, they're finding ways to win. They're making plays that the Jets don't make, you know? And so why is Garrett Wilson, like – having two illegal procedure penalties before the ball snap? What, like, his something's not right with him. He's a great kid. He's a good worker. But when you bouncing a ball off your chest and illegal procedure penalties, two of them, in, like, a couple plays apart, like, first of all, receivers should never, ever flinch, ever. All you're doing is looking at the ball to begin with.
Are they done, Baldy, the Jets?
Oh, look, they get the Patriots, like, you know, this league is all about confidence, and, you know, they've got two real winnable games in a row, I believe, but we said that before. You have to win, beat the Patriots, which is a terrible team, and if you lose that, then it's definitely, you know, it's over. And you play Houston on a short week, who, I mean, they're good, but they're not what everybody thought they were going to be. Some days they look like it's just a 20-point offense. So, you know, they got a right corner out there that looked like a pigeon last week. You know, they went after him big time, and in Green Bay wore him out. You know, so they could be beat on a short week for sure. They got to travel. But, you know, it's this is if there's ever been a must-win, there's a must-win. Like, they got to win two games in 4 days, and they got to get on the other side here.
Are you – I know you watch all the games, Baldy, like us, and you watch all the film and all that stuff. Do you have the same feeling that I do? Like, oh, God, I got to watch the Jets and the Giants again and watch this slop? I mean, it's been for the better part of a decade. Both these teams stink. I can't take it anymore, Baldy.
I mean, I'll go watch Baltimore's offense in a second. I'll go watch Kansas City play defense. You know, I'll go watch Pittsburgh light people up. You know, I'd go around the league right now. I'd watch Jordan Love any day against anybody. I can't say that about either New York team right now.
Oh, God.
Thanks, Baldy.
What a depressing report.
Yeah, hopefully there's something. Like, the light goes on this week for these teams, and they find ways to win, and we can have a much better time and a different conversation next week.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, let's root for that. I do think there is a path for each team. Thank you, Baldy. We appreciate it. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. But, I mean, think about it, BT. We watch a lot of NFL around the league. It's all good. And yet here we have two teams, and it's no good. And it's been like that for the better part of at least a decade, maybe longer.
First of all, remember when we were complaining for a minute, like, oh, the NFL schedule makers, Jets and Giants playing at the same time. You're doing us a favor, actually.
Yeah, right.
Do it all the time. We only have to pick one poison, number one, although you and I watch them both.
Right.
It's our job, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for 10 years, like, there's the red zone, and that's real football. And then there's the football that we watch. And when you see these high, I'm just jealous. I don't know how else to say it. Creative offensive, wide open, you know, good quarterbacks, dominant defenses, competent coaches. We're the opposite.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.